Good evening.
Desire your prayers tonight. Depending on the Lord, yet one more time. Recognize any time I stand before the people of God, I can't do anything without him, so there's no use to try. So I covered your prayers tonight. It's humbling when you feel the presence of the Lord and in being in this meeting and just some of the messages that have been brought forth and what the thoughts I believe that the Lord gave me to share. Just thinking about how you can have people in different parts of the country and how God's Spirit can be working here and working there and bringing different things to his servants. So I certainly again desire your prayers tonight, a message to share from the Lord. I desire to share it in a way that he would have it to be brought forth. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Tavis Brown. I'm from the Dallas, Texas congregation. I'd like to begin reading in the second chapter of the book of Joel. I'm going to look at the 25th verse. The thought this evening is restore the years. In Joel, the second chapter and the 25th verse, it says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And in thinking about this verse, I'd like to start with the foundation and just thinking about what locusts can do. In a natural sense, the type of destruction that they can provide just in a natural sense. The damage, doing a little bit of research on locusts, understand that those that are in agriculture, those that may have farms, I know I've done a little bit of gardening in my life, have had some success and not so good success, but nothing like those that are maybe have a farm that's it's their livelihood, that they grow crops to feed those around them and for a livelihood, for a way for them to make money. But there's damage that locusts can do to crops. And it says that they come in swarms and they feed on crops and trees and other plants. And what they do is they utterly destroy and they devastate crops and grasses that are livelihood for people and for livestock. When you think about it, we all have to eat, right? We all have to eat in order to live. And without that, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? So they can wreak havoc, so to speak, on all of us. I think about just they can on communities, wherever they are, they can be very devastating. I'm reminded of we think about when the children of Israel were in Egypt. What was one of the plagues? It was locusts, right? Do you remember what they did? Let's go there very quickly here to that's found in Exodus, the 10th chapter, reading verse 12 through 15. You know how it was with Moses and Pharaoh, and Moses was trying to convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. So we know that God sent plagues. So this is the destruction that locusts can do. It says here in Exodus, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land. Even all the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, And the Lord brought an east wind unto the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievously were they. They brought they before them. There were so no such locusts as they, neither have them. Excuse me, I'm going to start over again on that 14th verse. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt. Pray for us. And rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither have there them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. They essentially destroyed everything, ate up all the green. When I think about all the green, I think about green as life, right? When we look around at us and we may see, when we see grass that is growing and prosperous, we think growth, don't we? And we see, maybe we go somewhere and we see dead brown grass, we think something's wrong, don't we? So these locusts came and they took away all the life. They took all the life away from there in Egypt. Now that, I'm making a point here with the locusts, because I would like to apply this scripture in a natural sense. What can locusts do in a spiritual way? When we think about each and every one of our lives, there's locusts. In a spiritual sense, what are some things in our lives that can be locusts to us? And locusts is things that anything that can hinder our relationship with God. I'm going to list some examples, but we've really heard all about them throughout this meeting. Different things. Really, it's anything that is hindering your relationship with God. That's a locust. What about backsliding? You have the locust of backsliding in your life that's hindered you. Maybe you tried time and time again to serve God, and for whatever reason, it just, each time you just keep going back. That's a locust in your life. What about worldliness? You just can't seem to pull yourself. Maybe the things of the world just have too much of a hold on you that you can't just pull yourself away from it. That could be a spiritual locust in your life. It's hindering you and your relationship with God. What about just being lukewarm? Is that why Jesus came? Did he come just for us to be lukewarm? Just to be able to say, I'm saved? Was that why he came? No. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's been mentioned in this meeting, God has a divine purpose for every one of us. I believe the brother mentioned it this morning. Why are you here? What is your purpose in this life? Is it just to be able to say, I'm saved? Lukewarmness can be a locust in our lives. You know, I'm reminded of a verse of scripture, and I believe this scripture was already mentioned earlier in the meeting in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. What does it talk about? It says it talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Have you been on the fringes, been around the church maybe all your life? You come to service, I believe, the last night, wasn't it? Where we had the, you check all the boxes, but it is not, there's hollow, there's nothing there. That can be all a locust in your life. That you just have a form of godliness, but there's no power. There's nothing behind it. As the brother mentioned last night, there's nothing down in here. That can be a spiritual locust in your life that's hindering you and your relationship with God. What about some ruined relationships? Have you had maybe situations that have happened? Maybe you had a strong relationship with somebody and something happened and somebody got offended and You just kind of both went your own ways. That can be a locust. Well, what if God intends, what if you're the only way that that person, you're the only connection that they have to God. And that relationship is gone. And you say, well, they went their way and I went mine. So I'm just leave them alone. And once maybe you just had a strong bond. God has something better. That could be a spiritual locust, a ruined relationship. You know, that happens sometimes in families, doesn't it? You know, sometimes you have conversations with people and they talk about, oh, you know, if you say anything about maybe your in-law, especially you could say your mother-in-law, sometimes what do people say? They automatically, oh, I'm sorry. No, my mother-in-law and I, we have a wonderful relationship. You know, our families, we can get together and we can spend time together and we can enjoy one another and we don't have to fight. Ruined relationships, that can be a locust in our lives. What about just a famine from God? Just seemed to push God away. Maybe some was brought up in the truth that they decided to just turn it aside. There's a famine that something's missing. I believe another scripture that was mentioned. I believe this afternoon it was mentioned. There's a spirit in man. There's something within all of us that desires a connection with God. And if that connection with God is not there, there's something missing in our lives. And it's going to always be missing. You know, you've heard the expression, maybe you can't fill a round peg with a square, right? So we all have God-sized holes in our heart that the only thing it can be filled with is God. And if we're missing that, that's a locust that's come and attacked. You know what God wants to do? God wants to restore. God wants to restore those years. You know what? I'm going to add something up here. He wants to restore those wasted years. All those wasted years. He wants to restore them. He wants to bring back. He wants to bring us back to him. You've ever had, just think about just in a natural sense, have you ever done something where you spent quite a bit of time doing something? Sometimes maybe it could be some minuscule task. Maybe I think about just my own self. So maybe a silly task of just trying to fix something that was broken. And it just, you start down the trail of it and it ends up taking way longer than you thought it would take. And then you can't even get it. And then you look back and you like, I just spent 2 hours doing what? I just wasted 2 hours of my time. I could have just went and bought something or maybe found somebody who was more of an expert than me, but I just wasted time. People do that spiritually. That's what the locusts do. The locust steals all that time away from us. And God wants to restore it. He wants to restore all that. You know, in life, we can't go back, right? If you could say, if I had that all do over again, let me rewind it and start over and then do something else. We can't do it, can we? There's no way that any of us can take time back. We can't set the clock back and start over. You know, sometimes, you know, you've heard an expression about people maybe waking up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe they wake up a little grumpy. You know, sometimes people probably wish that, you know what? Let me go back to bed and then I'll get up on the other side. You can't do it, though. We can't restore anything. Only God can. God can do it, though. He can restore those wasted years. You know, I'm reminded sometimes, even just, you know, we have these programs maybe that we use sometimes. I use programs for my job. And you know what? There's a command that we have in these programs. It's called undo. We have them maybe in some of the Word programs and Excel, right? They all have this. What happens if you do something and you're like, wait, I don't want that. What can you do? You just hit that undo command and it's like it never happened, right? It just erases it and then you can start like it was never there. There's no undos in life. We can't undo things that we've already done, but God can restore. God can restore. Yes, He can. He can restore. You know, trying to go back and fix things that were done, we can try. But God, again, God is the only one. You know what that word restore means? It means to bring back to into existence or use a former or original state. To put again in possession of something. It's the original condition. To put something back like it was originally intended. You know, I think about just, let's go to, remember Adam and Eve when they was in the Garden of Eden? We all know the story of what happened. Let's just turn very quickly to Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse. We're going to read into this a little bit, but it says this was after this, what we're about to read here was after they had partaken of the tree of life, right? The tree of good and of knowledge of good and evil. This is after this had taken place. It says here that, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees in the garden. But you know what I want to pull out of this? Can you imagine how it was before they violated the law, before they disobeyed God? He told them, don't eat of the tree, right? So what I want to pull from this, can you imagine the communion that they had with God in the cool of the day? You know, in the evening time, in the time when the temperature drops down. Can you imagine when the very presence of God came down and visited with Adam and Eve? Don't you, can, if you just allow your mind to try to grasp a hold of that, what that must have been so wonderful. What wonderful communion with God. He just lowers his presence and they just enjoy the presence of God. Oh, but mankind messed it up. Aren't you thankful for God? What did he want to do? He wanted to restore that, didn't he? Aren't you so glad that God always has a backup plan? And for some of us, it's the backup to the backup to the backup plan. Right? Some of us have we've tested the mercy of God. Right? The scripture says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. But the plan that God had for man, he sent his son, didn't he? So he could restore the years. He's to restore those wasted years. You know, the wonderful thing is all is not lost. There's hope, right? We have hope because of what Jesus did. Because God Almighty sent Jesus, his son, down to this world to die on a cross to give hope for all of us. And God is able to restore. He's able to restore those wasted years. You know, as long as we have life, as long as we have breath, there is hope. Yes. I've been encouraged lately. It seems like at home we've gotten under more of a burden to pray for the lost. Thinking about many of the saints' children that have gone off. Be encouraged, saints. Keep praying for them. Because as long as there's life, there is hope. And God is able to restore. He's able to restore those wasted years. You know, the thing again, God has a specific purpose for each and every one of us. What does the scripture say? It says, seek the kingdom of God first, right? What is your divine purpose? What is your divine purpose in this life? God, every soul has a divine purpose. It's up to each and every one of us to find out what it is. Lord, what is your divine will? Am I fulfilling, Lord, the purpose that you have for me in this life? God is able to restore. He's able to restore those wasted years. You know what we can do? You know, it's like we can draw a line in the sand, can't we? I know the enemy of our soul would try to convince us that you can't do it. You've gone too far. You've wasted too much time. There's no way that you can restore. I want to encourage you tonight. That's a lie. What is the devil, right? Well, the scripture says he's a thief and a robber. What his purpose? He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his purpose. So do you think if he and in another place, I believe it says he's the father of lies, right? So what do you think the father of lies is going to tell you? The truth? He's going to tell you a lie. Even if he has a little ounce of truth in it, there's going to be a lie behind it. But I want to tell you, there's hope. There's hope for each and every one of us. And the thing is, God has to get our attention, doesn't he? I think about, what does he have to do? When you think about the world, even just the last 2 years, think about all the things that have gone on in the world. Think about this pandemic that we're in the middle of. Think about still just the senseless violence that occurs. What does God have to do to wake us up? He wants to restore those wasted years. What is it going to take? The judgment? It's going to be too late then. When we stand at the judgment, well, if I just had a little more time. No, not so. God is so faithful. God is so merciful. He's so loving. He's so kind. He extends mercy upon mercy upon mercy. It's up to us to recognize it. I'm so thankful that God extended mercy to me. I'm not one of those ones. Maybe there's some out here today that maybe the first time God dealt with you, you surrendered. I'm not one of those. God had mercy on me. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful that he extended mercy to me. I'm reminded of an example in the scriptures where you can say, well, you know, you, brother, I don't know who you are, but you don't know my situation. You don't know how far I've gone. You don't know how long it's been. There's no way to restore these wasted years. I want us to read a little bit and remind us. Remember Saul? Paul, right? What was he known for initially? Right? What he did, he killed Christians, didn't he? That's what he did. That's what he was known for. What happened to him? Let's go over to the 9th chapter of Acts. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus. We're going to read down through verse 18. Desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he find any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Does he sound like a nice guy? Women, children, didn't matter to him. He bring them bound. What was the purpose? You know, we know what he did. He killed Christians. That's what he did in his life. So he had a reputation, right? Everybody knew, you know, all of us. Sometimes you could say someone's name or think of something, and it makes you think of something. So when his name, you know, when his name was brought out, I'm sure they thought, that's the one that's killing all the Christians. So here he's got some more. He thinks he's got some more he's going to take care of. And it says, as he journeyed in the third verse, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. Here he's on his way to do some more damage, but God had something else in mind. There came a light from heaven. And it says, and he fell on the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Said, and he said, recognize this. Do you take note of this? He said, who art thou, Lord? Somehow he knew about God. Somehow he knew about Lord God Almighty. He recognized, wait a minute, somebody's trying to get my attention. Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? God got his attention, didn't he? God got his attention, and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? When God gets our attention, that should be our same response. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you have a divine purpose for me in my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? And he told him, he said, arise. And the Lord said unto him, here in the sixth verse, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but hearing no man. Do you think that had an effect on those that were with him? Do you think they were affected by this experience? Do you think that those around us are going to be affected when God really gets a hold of us? When we are really fulfilling the purpose that God has for us, it's going to have an effect. I believe the brother mentioned that this morning. All of us have a sphere of influence. There's different ones that I may interact with, that you may interact with, that besides us, who else? Some people will never step into a church. All they have is us. And if I'm not doing and fulfilling the purpose that God has for me, is there going to be blood on my hands? Lord bless. It said, and Saul rose, here in the eighth verse, from the earth. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So now he was blind. So God had already gotten his attention. And now God's maintaining his attention now because he can't see. He went from one that could probably had all kind of authority. Go get that one. Go get this one. Do this. Do that. And now he got somebody leading him along. God got a hold of him, didn't he? And it says here, and it says he was there, and they brought him. He was being led in the eighth verse, and Saul rose up from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he drink. 3 days. God got a hold of him for 3 days. What is it going to take for us? What is it going to take for God to get a hold of each and every one of us? We're talking about him restoring those wasted years. He had Saul's attention, didn't he? Now he's not only blind, but he's like this for 3 days. But God had a plan and a purpose, didn't he? This was twofold. This was not only getting Paul's attention, but he had a disciple somewhere that he wanted to touch too, didn't he? It says here in the 10th verse, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here am I, Lord. Ananias had a purpose, didn't he? He had a purpose in this situation. God had something special for him to do. So that God got his attention, didn't he? Woke him up. Said, Ananias, I have need of you. What was his response? Here am I, Lord. What's our response to God? Is that our response? Here am I, Lord. Or we try to scurry away. Lord, just not, I'm not ready yet. That's a locust. Picking up again here in Acts, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. Certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here am I, Lord. The Lord had some instructions for him. What do we do when God gives us instruction? What do we do with it? Do we take it? Or do we, Lord, are you sure? You know, I think about sometimes, think about Lord giving me this burden. Hey, Lord, are you sure? Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm depending on you, Lord, but I'm willing. The Lord said in the 10th and 11th verse, the Lord said unto him, he said, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, yes, Lord, whatever you say, I'm willing to do. He said, wait a minute, Lord. Lord, Ananias, Lord, I heard about this fella. Wait a minute. Are you sure you got the right one? Because I heard about him. That's the one that killed. He gonna kill me. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priests to bind all them that call on thy name. So, Lord, if I go to him, he can take me and bind me up and I'll be with like one of those other ones that he's destroyed and killed. But who's giving the instruction here? Right? Wait a minute. God is giving the instruction. This is what I'm requiring of you. Do you know what? If God has something for us to do, the purpose that he has for us, he's going to give us everything that we need to be able to do it. Even if we're afraid, if we're fearful. I could imagine Ananias was a little bit fearful. I imagine he had a little bit of trembling, but he said, Lord, this is what you told me to do. I'm going to put my hand in your hands. And as we heard earlier in this meeting, Lord, I'm going to allow you to lead me and I'm going to look to you to bless. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I have shewn him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God had a divine purpose, even for the one that seemed like there was no hope for, right? God had a purpose to be able to restore all those wasted years. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, listen to what he said. What did he say here? He said, Brother Saul, God let him know that this is a changed man here. I've got his attention, and now he's one of us. Brother Saul, he said, receive. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that have appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, he has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When we think about all that Brother Paul accomplished as we read through the New Testament, which he's responsible for the majority of it. Can I say that? Did God restore those wasted years? Now, I mean, we can look at our own self. Have any of us gone that far? Maybe we have. But you know what? Even if you have, there's hope, right? There's hope because God is no respecter of persons. What he had for Saul, for Paul, he can do that for each and every one of us. He can restore those wasted years. One writer said this: God can give us such plenteous grace that we shall crowd into the remainder of our days as much of the service. In other words, that God can give us urgency with the time that we have left. You know, again, we talked about in life, we can't go backwards. We can't go back and redo anything. But Lord, I still have life. Lord, I still have breath. I don't know how long it's going to be. But you know what? I can endeavor by your grace to allow you to work in me and allow you to work through me and be able to restore all those wasted years. And to be able to bear the fruit that you want me to bear. You know, he can take that stubbornness that we had, that urgency that we had, and he can turn that around. And those wasted years, by a miracle of love, the writer said, can be restored. And he can turn the account of our bitter experience so that we can warn others, so that we can be an encouragement to others to say, you don't want to do that. Listen what I've done. Don't do what I've done. Don't have the wasted years. Yield to the Lord and allow him to use you in the way that he would have. You know, I think about this, and I'm not picking on anybody, but you know, a lot of times the appeal is to the young people, and that's good. But you know, sometimes there's some older ones too. There's some middle-aged ones. Maybe that's just, they've had some locusts, some spiritual locusts in their lives that have hindered them and their walk with God, that have hindered them from fulfilling the full purpose that God has for them. God wants to restore those wasted years. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. There's a song that we sing, I believe we sung it the other night. There's two verses within that song I want to bring our attention to. Even those, there's a verse that says, I've wasted many precious years. Oh, but now I'm coming home. You know what? If you've wasted some years, draw a line in the sand. It's time to say, Lord, all right, I'm through. I'm through. I'm finished wasting the life that you have given me. God is the one that gives us life and breath. He's the one that can take it away just like that. And he's extended mercy to us. For what purpose? He has a divine purpose for each and every one of us. So it doesn't matter how many years you've wasted. God wants to restore them. He wants to restore them. In another verse it says, my soul is sick. My heart is sore. It says my soul is sick. My heart is sore. It says my strength renew. My heart restore. God wants to restore us. He can restore all those wasted years. Let us be up about our Father's business. Another place it says, a song says, we don't have any time to lose. We heard it earlier in the meeting. Time's running out. We don't know how much time is left. We don't want to stand before God. And God says, what have you done with the life that I've given you? And we say, I was saved. You know what I think about? Remember the story of the talents? Right? If we stand at the judgment seat of God and we say, Lord, I'm saved. Wouldn't that not be like the one that buried the talent? Right? When God says, I had a specific purpose for you in your life, what did you do with it? What effect did you have on those around you? Did you fulfill the purpose that I had for you? We say, yes, Lord, by your grace. That's what we want to say. Lord, when you got my attention, every time you spoke to my heart, every time you dealt with me, even if I had some reservation, that's normal. It's human. We're all human. We might have some reservation sometimes, but you know what? We need to respond to God. When we have that, ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I have some reservations, but I'm following what you have instructed me to do. Just like Ananias, right? You could imagine there was some, but you know what I believe? I'm just thinking about this now. The Lord brought this to my mind. I believe that if Ananias set out to go to that house where Paul was, he might have started walking slow. But you know what I believe? The closer he got, the Lord just inspired him along the way. And he probably came through that door of Brother Saul. Thank the Lord. God wants to restore. God wants to restore those wasted years. Have you had some locusts in your life? God wants to restore. God wants to restore tonight. And he wants to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us to fulfill the call that he has for us. I desire your prayers. You know what? When you start out for God, you don't know what he's going to have you do. But you know what? As we heard about earlier in this meeting, as long as we allow God to lead us, if we keep our hand in his hand, you know what? He's going to take care of us. He's going to be with us every step of the way. And whatever he has for us to go through and to do, he's going to give us the grace and the strength that we need. I appreciate your time and your attention tonight.